Cecil, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Man, we appreciate you joining us here. Heard you a lot on the radio. Now we're hearing you over here on 97.5. We like it.
Hey, I'll take it, brother.
Well, thanks for joining us right now. Cecil, listen, Bill O'Brien, I thought, had a pretty good quote. It's football. You know what? We sucked last week. You know what? Put it behind you and everything else that happens. You've been on the wrong end of that with Bill O'Brien and the Texans. Are you able to just put that in a rear view mirror, or is that gnawing at you that, man, what the hell? Are we that bad?
So as a player, you have to put in a rear view menu. Rearview mirror, not the menu. You had to put it behind you simply because there's another game coming up just as important. And if you don't win the next two out of three or the next three, you might not be in the playoffs. So as a player and a coach, you have to put that behind you. But for me, as a fan and as a guy that watches the game and talks about it a little bit, that's a leadership problem that we saw last week. I think we all made the New England game too big. Even the coaching staff and the players, that was their Super Bowl, it seemed like. It seemed like they were so happy to beat New England. They finally beat New England under Bill O'Brien. When's the last time they beat them as an organization? They finally got over the hump. They handled the game. They handled them pretty well. And then it was a huge letdown. But that can't be your Super Bowl. As a coach, as a veteran on that team, you have to understand, okay, we handled our business against New England. Awesome. The next game is just as important. We got to make sure that we're up to par. Mm-hmm. Good teams find a way to be consistent. Super Bowl caliber teams find a way to be consistent. And for me, they're not a tier one team. They're still a tier two team. And we saw that last week versus the Broncos.
We got Cecil Shorts with us, Raheel and Granado talking with you. And then we'll talk about what happened yesterday at the bubble and what you did with Reliant in a second. But, you know, sticking on that point about what tier the team is in, you saw them obviously go up against a tier one team and the best team in the NFL in the Ravens. And it was on the road. They got blown out. The Patriots win was a nice measuring stick, but in my opinion, that's a team that, with everything the Patriots have done, that's a game you should have won, honestly, the way they were trending. And then, by the way, you see the Chiefs, like, roll them as well. The leadership problem that you mentioned, how does that happen? Is it Deshaun? Is it Nuke? Who is it? Is it the lack of JJ in the locker room? How does that happen where the team comes out this flat with the leadership issue, as you mentioned?
I think it starts with the head guy in charge, and it's not a knock against O'Brien, because I like O'Brien as a coach. I think he does a good job, but he didn't do well in this department in getting his team ready. I mean, to me, I go back to Pete Carroll at USC. They always found ways to lose games they were not supposed to lose. Either they were looking ahead at USC, and overlooking the Fresno States, and they ended up losing to, or whoever else. They were looking to play, you know, the Oregons or whatever, or they just didn't beat who they were supposed to do. That falls on the coach. That's the leadership that I'm coming from. As O'Brien as the head coach, he just came off a big win. Actually, two big wins. You beat the Colts. That was a big time winning your division, and because you just lost to the Ravens, and then you beat New England. Boom. Two big wins. This easily should have been your third win in a row going to Tennessee, which is a huge division game because Tennessee is rolling right now. I think they won six out of the last seven games, but there's a letdown. That starts with the head. It wasn't just a letdown. It was an embarrassment. It was how they lost the game. It wasn't if it was a close game back and forth. Okay, those guys came to play. No, the whole team was flat. It was flat. Yep. From top bottom. It was just completely a flat performance. Nobody looked like they wanted to play. They were just like, okay, we'll beat the Broncos. They'll lay down for us. And Kareem Jackson and those guys embarrassed the Texans. And I think that starts with O'Brien and trickles on down to the veteran players. You have good teams, good coaches are consistent when it comes to being prepared and ready to play every single game.
Well, they're consistent. They lose one, win two, lose one, win two. That's the whole season has been going on like that. And, you know, Bill O'Brien was asked about that last week. He said, well, after a big win like that, how are you going to get your guys ready for that? And he was almost offended. We're professionals in here and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? That question was dead on. Now, that happens a lot, though, in sports, Cecil. A trap game, you know, after a big win and you got another one ahead of you. So not giving it any excuses, but how about this, though? Sitting Will Fuller, because Bill O'Brien said on Monday, you know what, if we made a decision that was best for the football team. It almost seemed like they were saying, you know what, we're not going to risk him this week. He is a little bit banged up. Maybe he could have gone. It looked like he probably could have gone, but they decided, you know what, let's get him all healed up because we got another one this week. Two things. Was that a right call? And secondly, why is this team so damn dependent on Will Fuller? Because when he's there, they're great, and when he's not, they suck.
Well, they depend on him because he's so good.
Now, one Will Fuller is that good?
If you look at what game was it? Was it the Colts game where he caught those two bombs Thursday night, correct? That was the Colts game. Yep. He opened up the whole entire offense to everybody else. He's a number one caliber receiver when he's healthy. I put that when he's healthy. He's a number one receiver. He opened up that whole offensive playbook. Everybody started eating. DeAndre Hopkins had a good game. Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Deshaun, the tight ends. Everybody had a good game because Will Fuller caught two bombs. The defense now has to respect the deep ball. They have to respect and play more true. They can't just double hop. They got to make sure they're covering Will Fuller, and that opens up the whole offense. When you have a guy that can do that, he opens things up. Now, that puts in my mind, guess what? We'll sit out Will Fuller this week. He'll be fine. We'll come back next week versus Tennessee. That right there is the mindset they had. Oh, yeah, don't worry. We don't need Will Fuller this week. We'll win without Will this week. And guess what? You got pounded on. That right there shows the mindset they had. We'll sit Will out. We don't need him this week because the team we play is not that good. We'll need him for Tennessee and moving forward. That's the mindset they had.
Yeah.
They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared for this week. Bill O'Brien can be mad as he wants to. They were not prepared. Now, what's the right move? I think it was. Because if I'm the head coach, I'd rather sit my guy early on than have him. The hamstring is tricky. If you re-aggravate it, then he's out 3-4 weeks. So Mike Evans, who got a hamstring, out for the year. You want your guys ready for the playoffs.
Cecil,
every game in the NFL matters.
Sorry. He's only there in his career, he's there 65% of the time, which is less than 2 out of 3 games. So every 2 games he plays, he misses a game. How can you, if you're so dependent on this guy, how can you continue to depend on him when he's so unreliable?
Wow. Well, wow. That's a great statistic by you. I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, he's not – you shouldn't be able to – you can't depend on one particular person at that receiver position, right? I guess you have a – if you look at Kenny Stills, Kiki Kuti, who's – I can't figure him out. What's going on with that? DeAndre Hopkins, you should in the tight end. Duke Johnson. You have enough in your arsenal to be okay.
Yeah.
You have enough in your arsenal to be like, okay, we can hit them in any type of way we want to. But how the offense looks, they need Will Fuller, and that's how they call the plays.
We got Cecil Shorts on with us. All right, let's talk about the Titans game. How do you anticipate this team coming out? And also, what's it like playing in Tennessee? You've played there plenty of times. I think the crowd's going to be a little bit different because this team is actually rolling and looking somewhat good for the first time where you go, all right, that's not a bad team now. How do you think it's going to be on Sunday?
Well, the atmosphere would be a playoff-type atmosphere, I think. Tennessee will be out there because their team is good. I think that atmosphere will be crazy. It'll be fun for both teams, for both players, both coaching staffs. How I think the game's going to go, it's going to be physical, man. Tennessee is a fighter. And the same thing with Tampa Bay the week after. These guys fight. They fight to the end. And for whatever the reason, Tannehill has revived his career. And he's looked like a legit starting quarterback the last 7 games he's played. With Tennessee, and he's throwing the ball well, making good decisions, but he's also not forcing the ball. So when something's not open, guess what? He's running. He's taking off down the field. He was at A&M, I believe he was a receiver at one point. So he can run and make plays with his feet. And then you got a guy like Derrick Henry back there. The defense does well. So it's going to be a physical game. Do I think the Texans win? I do. I mean, John just said that the pattern they go, they lose one, win two, whatever it was. So they'll figure out a way to win, but it'll be a hard fought game.
It's going to be interesting, man. I can't wait. It's going to be it's going to be a fun game.
Kiki, how do you? Oh, Kiki.
Oh, don't call him. Don't put Kiki on him.
Kiki, no. Good Lord.
Oh no.
Good Lord, I didn't mean you were going to fumble right there. Listen.
Oh,
I didn't mean you were going to drop a pass right there. What I'm saying is this.
You insulted him a little bit.
I did a little bit. How important is it? Because we had this argument with somebody on Twitter. They've scored 3 points all season long on their first drive. What does that mean for a football team to be? They're second in first quarter scoring. They're the second worst team in the NFL. What's with the slow starts? And what does it mean for a team? They're 8-5. So how bad can it be?
It's terrible. I mean, you can't start a playoff game that way. You know what I mean? You're not going to have – it's all about momentum. Games are about momentum. And if you start the game off well, the offense and defense can feed off – the defense can feed off you, so the teams can feed off you, and the game can go well. You start the game off bad, however way you want it to go. But you are too good on offense. There's no excuse. You are too good on offense. I don't care what the numbers say, what the stats say. We know the players that they have. They are too good on offense to be second to last in your first drives. It's ridiculous. I don't understand. I think it's an inconsistency in the play calling. I think it's in the players' heads a little bit. Dang, we ain't start fast all year. Let's try to get it going. And, all right, here we go again. But they had to figure out a way to start fast and be, and again, I'm going to use this word, be consistent.
Yeah, isn't that
to be consistent.
Isn't that all scripted?
The first 13 plays are all scripted.
Yeah. And how can that be that you work all week long and you don't have a plan? And, well, either it's one of two things. You're really bad at scripting, or you're really good at adjusting because you score later. You score in the second, third, and fourth quarter. So either that Bill O'Brien must be a great adjuster and a terrible scripter, or I don't know how else to put it.
That's a great question. Either they're not that good at scripting, or they're not sticking to the script. So they might start. I've seen that. I've been a part of that before, where the first four plays are supposed to be A, B, and C, but you know, might have a penalty or a false start by Tunsil or something like that throws everything off. Now you have to go off script and run a play that necessarily you weren't necessarily prepared for the first 12 plays. But as a professional, you got to be ready to go, man.
Absolutely.
There's no excuse for that.
Last question. We're up against it here. Bradley Roby's sitting, and he said, hey, this week he has said that's a coach's decision. What do you make of that? Well, we're rotating. Really? You're taking out your best corner and he's sitting there watching the game? What do you think that's about?
I don't know. And it's weird because, if I'm not mistaken, Roby came from the Broncos, right?
Yep.
He came from Denver. So those guys, like, I mean, look at Kareem Jackson when he played against his old team. Like, when you go against your old team, you're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, you saw how Kareem looked.
You're going to be – I mean, Kareem played his best game of his whole 10-year career on Sunday.
He was awesome, yeah.
So I'm confused by the rotation part. My conspiracy theory side says they don't want to pay him that much. I've been a part of those situations. I've seen those situations where, like, hey, we don't want to give him a certain amount of money or whatever it may be. But I think it was just a bad – I think he got benched, and I think it was just a bad call by – Romeo. I just think it wasn't good. Like, to be honest, that's just a bad coaching error, and you got hurt for it.
You absolutely
paid for 31 plus points, whatever it was.
We got Cecil Shorts with us. Man, it was awesome seeing you yesterday at the Reliant charity game. Talk about this real quickly. So six local area students, and they are all athletes. You went around and surprised them, telling them that they won a scholarship that's going to help a lot, especially with the cost of college right now. What was that like, man, telling those kids that you're about to change their life and their family's life with the scholarship money?
Man, it was incredible. So like you mentioned, Reliant and the Texans came together and put this program together called Scholarship for Champions. And it's across the whole Houston area. So in Houston and the suburbs of Houston. And tons of kids were applying. I'm sorry, the staff of the different schools were applying for their different children. And six kids won it, and they won $10,000 apiece. And I got to go in their schools, in their assemblies, in their classrooms, in their cafeterias, and just randomly surprise them with $10,000. And you could just see their faces. You could see the how much it meant to the parents, how much it meant to the individuals that, you know, applied for them, that nominated them, I should say, and then how much it meant to the students. I mean, you mentioned it. It's just $10,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And when you're putting it towards something for a good cause, when you're helping further their education and further help them be as successful as they want to be in life. So it's pretty cool. We got kids going to Yale. We got kids going to A&M. All of them played sports in high school. A few of them are going to play sports in college as well. So it's definitely a big deal, not only for the kids, but for the parents. So they got a chance yesterday. So they got $10,000, about 3 weeks ago. We all knocked it all out in 1 week. So six kids in 1 week. And then part of their award was to play in a flag football game with the media, which you were part of.
That was their punishment. They're like, hey, congratulations. Now you have to run around with these flappies.
So Cecil, did you watch the media game? Did you see my partner win the MVP here?
You know what? I was emceeing it, so I had to color commentate the whole thing. And listen, Raheem was out there looking like Deshaun Watson. Stiff arming kids
against that
MVP, man. He deserved it.
Unbelievable competition.
Double overtime. double overtime, you push this team to victory, man. I liked it.
Yeah. You went to triple overtime?
Double overtime.
Dude, listen, I saw him run. It was an unbelievable run. He ran around the end. He ran around that girl, and he got into the end zone. It was so unbelievable. What an athletic play.
Dude. Hey, I tell you what, though. He could have ran every time and probably scored, but the cool thing right here did yesterday is he let all his team be a part of the game. So he was passing to the students, passing to the ladies, the gentlemen. He was making everybody on his team eat. But when it came down to getting down, Raheel got down.
How did he do it against that vaunted competition?
Dude, no joke. One of those, so the soccer kid, I think his name was Eli Cecil, the one that was just burned. This kid plays soccer for Dobie High School. He roasted me like 5 times. On defense, I was like, I looked like James Harden. I was like,
he was fast.
Dude, this kid was fast. I was like, okay, I'll play safety and I'll play over the top. It's cool. And the kid that was throwing is a baseball player who's going to Yale on playing there. They were just launching stuff. I'm like, what do you want me to do, guys?
He's a lefty, too.
I didn't win MVP for defense.
Okay.
There were no defensive plays made. There was like four. What was the final score?
49-42.
Yeah. It was a lot like the Saints Niners, okay? It was no
only
defense.
Without good players.
Yeah. And
Right.
The man, it's so cool to see those kids yesterday, and it's so cool that you got a chance to do that, Cecil. So it was nice running
great
into
stuff.
You.
Great stuff. Hey, Cecil, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Phil. Thanks for
having me. Call him back again soon. He's good.
All right.
Love Cecil.
Cecil's good.
Yeah, man. We're going to have Matt Murphy
on. I thought
he
was tied to that other station.
He might be. I don't know. He's doing this on behalf of Reliant. It was cool.
Oh, nice.
Matt Murphy's going to join us on Monday.
Good.
Murph Dog, who is my coach.
He was your coach?
Dude, he's awesome.
I'm going to have to ask him about you being able to run around those girls and score touchdowns. Gosh, that
they
was
were
so
Olympians.
Good.
No, not this time.
Not this time.
Not
Raheel was the only one wearing football cleats. He took it really seriously.